Here we go. Hey there, folks. This is your host, Cameron Ivey of Privacy Please, and thank you so much for tuning in each and every week. If this is your first time, welcome to the show. Tell your friends about it if you like it. If you don't, let's just pretend you didn't listen to it. Thanks again for coming in, and we hope you enjoy the show. Alrighty then. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Privacy Please. I'm your co-host, Cameron Ivey, along with my other co-host, Mr. Gabe Gums. As always, thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of Privacy Please. Gabe, how you doing, man?
Well, I'm well. How are you?
I am living. I'm living.
I was waiting for the dream or when the judges will have also accepted La Vida Loca. The judges will accept either.
I'd rather be living La Vida Loca than dream.
Fair.
Because I tell you what, I wanted to keep dreaming this morning, being all cold out this morning in Florida. Stay under them sheets.
You gonna make everyone in the Northeast, Midwest, Northwest. You're just gonna get them all mad at us.
A little jelly.
Yeah, very jelly. Don't at us. Don't at us.
Nope.
Now it is cold. It is cold. It's below 80 degrees. That is cold.
Yeah.
That is cold. I don't care where you're from. That's cold. And if you don't think that's cold, you should reassess all of your life choices. All of them.
Yeah. If my ears and my hands are hurting when I'm trying to walk outside, that's cold. I shouldn't have to wear gloves in Florida.
This is facts. Although people do like their furry boots, though, even when it is.
All right. Shout out to the Furry Boots Club.
Shout out to the Furry Boots Club.
That's cool. So, Gabe, we got some overreactions, underreactions. We got some pretty cool stuff looking into. Let's jump into this first one here about Apple. You found this one. It's pretty alarming, to say the least. So, Apple admits governments can spy on your iPhone's push notifications and are already doing that. No surprise, right?
And not just Apple, Google also. So the two major platforms of phones that are used in the United States. Mm-hmm. And so to give everyone an idea of what the privacy implications are here and what the problem is. I was going to say challenge, but there's a real problem there. Push notifications, by and large, are sent unencrypted today to your phone. They are not encrypted. So when you get an alert that says, you have a new message from Gabe Gums on LinkedIn, and you get that little push notification on your phone and a little badge shows up, that information makes its way across the wire largely in clear text. Mm-hmm. So the government can and has been, more or less from what we understand in this, using that information to understand, for example, who has received the notification or who has sent the notification or received the notification to or from a specific individual. So let's say that person A is under suspicion of nefarious activities. The government is watching person A. Mm-hmm. Person A's phone, right? Like they may have a warrant to monitor all kinds of other things. Maybe they don't yet. But person A's phone gets push notifications, right? Like from other applications. So if you, the government, can simply look at those push notifications or request them from Apple privately with a silent subpoena, you can just look at those notifications and then from that go, okay, so person A gets and receives push notifications from Cameron. Well, now let's go look at Cameron's phone, right? Like there's a lot of, this is your basic metadata spying. I mean, you were saying prior to the show that this doesn't seem like, you know, no one should be surprised by this. Who should be surprised by this? And the answer is no one really. Like the prison program that Edward Snowden exposed did a lot of that. It hoovered up all kinds of metadata, lots of metadata on American citizens in particular. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're looking at here. Just another, just a different version of that. Different version of that. I think what's going to happen is, forget my underreaction or overreaction, I have a strong feeling that the U.S. by and large will underreact to this. I suspect this won't really make significant headlines the way I think it should.
Yeah, of course not. It'll get pushed underneath some documents.
That's what it is.
These documents here. I have these documents.
It's the MSSM, the mainstream security media. They're going to cover it up. They're going to keep this one quiet.
Yeah, so it sounds like Apple confirmed that this was true, that governments can leverage for surveillance.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think there's some of the things that we should probably point out that maybe, well, you know, what listeners, like, what can we do? Or what should we not do in this situation? Like, one thing you probably want to do is review your app permissions, always.
Well, that's true. But before we get in, like, what can you do? Yes, review your app permissions, 100%. Notifications, though, are from a product perspective, they're seen as this holy grail of being able to get users' attention, right?
Right.
Like it is the absolute number one way to make sure that you keep user engagement up is with notifications.
Right.
And so through all of your best efforts, they almost become these necessary things, right? Like even if you give it the right permissions, they become so very necessary.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, customize notifications.
Yeah.
Settings, stay informed, use secure communication apps. I think we've talked about a few. Do you still vouch for, what's it called?
You're going with Signal?
Signal, yeah. We're not Signal. Sponsored by them, but it's a shout-out if they want to sponsor us.
Yeah, shout-out to Signal, though. It's still a platform that I do trust in many ways. Yes, yeah, totally. Related. I saw that there was some progress made on basically man in the middling Apple's secure iPhone messaging, such that you could do it from an Android. I don't know how trusted that thing is, but. But yeah, Signal's an app too that, you know, you can get push notifications from it. Like that's the whole thing, right? And those push notifications all go through Apple's service, right? Like a lot of them, you know, make their way through that service. And so that's what made this so naughty. It's been going on for a while. Apple and Google just weren't allowed to say anything about it. The government had gagged them such that they couldn't talk about this method. They weren't allowed to. Now that the method became public, now they have to talk about it.
Well, now when you say that, okay, you're saying now they have to talk about it. Do you think that Apple wanted to keep it hush hush, or they wanted to actually come out and let us know about it?
I don't have a good answer to that. I don't know, but you're asking my opinion, so I'll give you that answer, which is, I think Apple in particular would have wanted to have made this known, right? For their own selfish reasons, though. I don't know that it would have necessarily been altruistic, but they have used privacy as a selling tool.
Of course.
They have used it as a competitive differentiator. And they've even used it as a moat to block other competitors from getting at their business. So, yeah, I think for them, they would have seen this as good moat fodder, right?
Like, sure.
I genuinely believe that. So I think they would have wanted to. Google? I don't know. I think they would have wanted to also, but I don't think they have as much. I don't think they have as much a corporate desire to build a moat that is filled with privacy, right?
Right.
Where Apple does. Apple very much does.
Yeah, I think some of the key things that are pretty Self-explanatory, I guess, if you're kind of in the know of technology, don't just accept any notification requests, you know, don't overlook privacy settings, don't ignore app updates, share sensitive information, you know, don't do that unless you're using something like Signal. Like, we're talking, you know, just be, I don't know, aware of what you're doing if you care. Little things like that.
I mean, ultimately, know that anything that you do digitally leaves a fingerprint. It leaves an impression. Leaves an impression. And if your goal is to leave no impression, that will be difficult. Some might argue impossible. Mm-hmm. But know that you will leave an impression, and that those impressions can be identifiable. They can be identifiable.
Oh yeah, especially now. Speaking of identifiable, so before we move on to the next one, which was a great segue with the identifiable part, I think it goes without saying that this is not necessarily an overreaction.
No.
But a very serious thing, and important to keep up to date with and see how this progresses. But so, identifiable term, 23andMe. Had a huge data breach that affected 6.9 million users' DNA. That's huge.
That's massive.
6.9.
DNA.
It's scary.
Yeah. I think the danger is that there's so much unknown too, right? Like, right. It's like, ugh, what are the many different harms one can do with that data?
Oh, so much.
There is. You know, if you break into another system and swap that DNA information with someone else's,
that could
end badly.
I mean, we're talking about real life face off.
Yes.
You know, your face on someone else's face, and vice versa.
Yes.
I mean, which sounds pretty cool, if it's the movie, but. It's scary that the thing that we knew companies like that were going to be, like when it came out originally, I can't remember when those companies came out, but you just know, like, you had so many people thinking, like, why do I want to give my DNA to this company? And the worst possible thing can happen, like a data breach, and your DNA is just up for grabs.
Yeah, no bueno. No bueno. It begs the question also, you know, regulation. At what point does the government begin stepping in to regulate privacy? Like, we know we have some privacy, we have many privacy laws at the state levels. Mm-hmm. But, you know, is there any responsibility for governments at any point to ensure that private businesses can't create scenarios for their citizens that become problematic, right? Like, we already know that when nation states hack into lots of other types of services, they get a lot of information about U.S. citizens, right? Like, mm-hmm. We already know that they will use things like social media platforms and infiltrate them just from an interacting with citizens way. Like, at what point does this become worthy of some oversight? Can we expect these folks to just get it right themselves, or is it just buyer beware? Don't give any sensitive information to any of these companies.
Well, let me ask you this question to that. Does this pose risks to public interest, consumers, the economy, critical aspects of our society?
I think anytime citizen data is compromised, the answer to that is yes.
Then government, come on, smart people, let's go.
Once you said government, then you said smart people, so, you know.
yeah, let me take that back. I'm sorry, guys.
Kidding.
Not kidding. We're just allegedly
smart.
allegedly smart people that are in government. I know that there's some smart people
in government. Allegedly smart people that are allegedly in the government.
There you go.
Yes.
They can't come after us now.
There it is. Where, our lawyers have told us so. So to you.
Come on now. Figure it out for everyone. Let's go. What are we waiting for? This is, I mean, how much, what else has to happen for them to actually step in and do something about it, you know?
That's the real question. Just the real question. What else does?
I don't know. It's just crazy. But it's all, like, it's not a surprise. I mean, I'm sure this isn't the first time it's happened. I think wasn't there another company very similar to 23andMe that got hacked too? I forget the name.
I'm not going to say yes because I don't recall. And I don't want to call anyone out for something that may not have happened.
Allegedly. Someone else that got hacked.
Allegedly.
That's a fun word.
Isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised either. I absolutely would not be surprised. That would make a lot of sense.
I don't know, man.
That would make
it just
a lot of sense.
It continues to get weirder and weirder. I mean, I don't even know what to think or kind of how to wrap that one up. But just,
well, you know, is it underreaction, overreaction? This is the larger challenge. Is it starts to become, there's already so much apathy across the consumer space, right? Like these headlines. We could run this show every week and we'd have 20 new headlines every week, every single
week.
We could run it daily. We'd have multiple headlines daily. And so society's just has been building up this bit of apathy. We cover a lot of folks in the privacy space when we've got guests on the show that, you know, this is all they do all day long. So sometimes it feels like a little bit of an echo chamber with regards to how important it is. But that reaction just doesn't seem to exist in society at large.
Right.
Now, one can argue it's because they're, you know, everyone's busy dealing with things like, well, inflation.
Right.
It's true, right? Like,
yeah.
Like that, I'm certain if I went out and polled people, like they might put that ahead of privacy concerns at the moment. It's like, are you worried about inflation more or less than you're worried that the private government has yet to regulate your digital privacy?
Right.
I know how most people can answer that.
Well, certainly. I'll tell you what, if people that aren't in the know-how about data privacy, personal privacy and all that kind of stuff, if 23andMe data breach and you're affected by it doesn't affect you in some way that makes you want to be more active and more on top of things to protect your privacy and the privacy of your family and your children's data, all that kind of stuff, like this should definitely open those people's eyes, if not anything.
One would hope.
Well, you know, hope is in the air, Gabe.
Hope is in the air. Is that what that is? I thought I smelled something.
I don't know. Don't age yourself here.
I thought it was my dog.
So here's a fun fact about that just for listeners. So genetic testing company 23andMe, they fell victim right to the 6.9 million users were affected. So the breach affected 5.5 million users of the DNA relatives. So it's called DNAR feature. And an additional 1.4 million users utilizing the family tree profile feature. So,
here's a question. So what exactly, like, do those people get credit check monitoring? Like, if you get your bank account information stolen, like they offer you free credit check monitoring, you get your DNA stolen, what do you get offered?
That's a good question.
The answer is probably $12.35 if we're being honest.
Oh, yeah. cents on the dollar.
On the dollar,
which isn't going though.
Like, yeah, but like, what's the make this right for me now action? Right, like, go ahead, make this right for me. Like, make it.
I don't think
sense
there's a way. If somebody already has your personal information, they can do whatever they want with it. So, how do you make it right?
I don't know.
I mean, I guess a certain amount of money can always make things right. I guess
that's not untrue.
But depending on, you know, I don't know. When it comes to the DNA and the family tree thing, I know that stirs up some crazy things where people try to connect with people. They're like, hey, I just found out I'm your cousin. And then you learn that your dad had a family with another person that nobody knew about. Then it just starts this, I mean, just crazy stuff that I've heard. I don't know if you've heard of any of those stories before, but it's wild.
Well, equally the ones about law enforcement's use of DNA databases.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Good, you know, point.
There's been some pretty significant cases around what I would call privacy violations there as well. One can argue it's for the greater good, but, you know, leveraging the fact that someone's DNA matched someone else that was a suspect.
That's right.
Yeah. There's some pretty famous cases of those things, right? I find those things a little problematic because of how they gained access, right? Like, right. It wasn't, this goes back to like one of the core tenets of like GDPR. It's all about consent of use and processing.
Sounds like you got a raccoon back there.
I do indeed.
If anybody could hear that, don't worry about it.
It's
called working from home. Noises happen.
Noises happen. Stuff happens. Noise.
So leave your judgment at the door.
Yeah, preferably down the block. We don't really like it in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
It's better if you check it at the gates.
Check it at the gates, okay?
Yeah.
Respect our privacy, okay?
Don't bring it in here. Privacy, please.
Yes, privacy, please. And you know what? Thanks for joining this episode today. Us rambling. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Gabe, you got anything else before we wrap it up?
I'm looking forward to it, and hopefully our guests are too. We've got some great shows to wrap up the year. I don't know if we want to give them a sneak peek at some of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2024, we've got, we're changing things up just a tiny bit, adding some new things to the lineup. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're excited. It's always nice as the year kind of winds its way down, the show kind of winds with it, and we'll put out some content for you folks that are stuck around the log fires for the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know if you want to tease at anything coming up.
Yeah, to your point. So we have a live event coming. It's going to be on December 14th at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern on LinkedIn. So definitely go on one of our pages and find the event. You should be able to find it, and you can hit the attend button or just show up. You can find us on LinkedIn and our Privacy Please page. Would love to have you guys there. We'll have Debbie Reynolds, the data diva, friend of the show, wonderful person, wonderful guest, and then also Jonathan Sander, awesome, well known in the security realm. So we're going to do some 2024 live, you know, privacy predictions for next year, and some other surprises. So hope you guys can make it. And thanks again for always, you know, sticking around with us. Yeah. So anyways, Gabe, always a pleasure.
Pleasure is mine, my friend.
Yeah. We'll see you guys next week. Over and out.
Hey, you guys made it all the way to the end. Thanks for listening. Again, if this is your first time, we really appreciate the support and everyone that's always been around since the beginning. We love you guys. Keep supporting Privacy Please, and we'll always have new content each and every week. Cameron Ivey, over and out.